On with Mario Lopez.
What's up, y'all? I'm Mario Lopez. Joining me now in studio, acting icon and one of our greatest movie presidents ever, Mr. Bill Pullman. Welcome to the show. How are you?
Very good, Mario. Nice to be here.
Thank you. Thank you.
I see a little, there's duplicates of you here.
That's the Mario Piñata. He fills in when I'm feeling under the weather or have to leave. I got to tell you, I'm very excited for you to be here. I'm a huge fan of The Sinner. I was telling these guys about it from season one. Such a great show. And season two as well. Yeah. And I love it because if you're not familiar with it, it's sort of like True Detective, where each year it's its own case, but yet you're the constant, which is great.
Yeah, I get to rotate that. And then I don't feel bad saying to people, if you haven't seen anything, you can still see the third season.
Absolutely.
And
I would suggest to watch it from the beginning.
You get this whole Ambrose arc of starting out and trying to kind of get himself together, you know?
Yeah, and I love how it's all tied together. I was like, wow, USA Network really stepping it up, doing some nice programming right there. How was it pitched to you, or what appealed? What was it?
I got a script, you know, from Derek Simons, who's the showrunner, and a great letter. And I was really intrigued. I think it was the first time anybody wrote a letter. Sometimes it's, you know, for a director or somebody, say, I want to work with you on this, look at the scripting. But he was citing a Broadway play that I did. Nobody does that. They always talk about other movies.
He knew his stuff.
Yeah, he really did.
So Got it.
Yeah, it was very intriguing. And then it's continued to be more and more.
Yeah.
Each season gets more intricate and it's really good thing to dig into for 4.5 months.
Yeah, no, I love it. I love it. And season three, assuming again, one case you're focusing on for the season.
Yeah.
Are you able to talk about the premise at all?
Sure. Yeah. Okay. It's Ambrose's called to, you know, it's middle of the night in his small town where he's on duty, and there's a car accident and the driver died in it, but the passenger lived. And because there was an open container, it becomes a matter of law enforcement. And in the deposition with the guy who lived, you know, his condolences and said this had to happen, but can you answer a few questions? And his answers don't fit the situation, and it takes 8 episodes to figure out what goes on.
And the mystery starts to unfold. Who is in the cast this season?
Matt Bomer is the man who lives, and he seems to be one of those people recently married, his wife's expecting a baby, teaches at a girls' school, you know, upright citizen in so many ways, but then...
It's not what it appears.
No.
His life is almost too perfect.
Yes. Yeah. He says a few things. What's that about?
Okay, so Matt Bomer, anybody else we might recognize?
Chris Messina, who's really excellent, is this dark force who comes back into Bomer's life after a long break after college. They had known each other in college and had gone through some things then, and he brings it back. And then Parisa, who's there's so many good actors in this. Great. It's so good. Yeah.
Because both two seasons had, you guys had a great cast, great actors, great cast that you were surrounded with.
Yeah.
And when is it dropping, as the kids say? When is it?
I forgot that Jessica Hecht is in this, because she's a interesting character that Ambrose tries to, you know, break out of his isolated state and engages with her in an interesting way too. So
nice.
I had to bring that up.
And Jessica Biel's still involved, right?
Yeah.
That's great.
She's great. So have you ever talked to her? And probably a thousand times. You know how good tempered she is.
She's awesome. And she was great in the first season as an actress in there.
And now as a producer, you know, I guess you normally expect producer shows up, oh, somebody's going to get fired. But she lifts the spirit. She talks to all the crew. She, you know, kind of just, I think she sees her leadership as, you know, uplifting and respecting.
That's fantastic. Yeah. And when does it premiere season three again?
That's Thursday, today.
That's right.
Oh my gosh.
That's right. Thursday. It's good. Oh, good. Because this is a couples watch show. at Casa Lopez. My wife has her shows that she watches individually. Then I have my shows, and then we have our couples watch shows.
Whoa.
So I can't cheat on her on this show.
Right.
I have to wait for her. So this is one of the couples watch. Big deal.
The list of shows that they cheat on each other with, that's a whole other list.
No, we don't do that anymore. I can't cheat on this one. We enjoy this one. So, oh, good. And then another thing, you can't binge this one either. Right?
No, you have
to watch it.
Because it's on actual TV.
Right. It's old school. So you got to watch it, which makes it like, oh, you want to get to it because you get spoiled.
But
now,
if I haven't seen the first season yet, I can binge it because it's available in full.
Right.
So.
Yeah. Which I suggest to check out.
First and second.
Yeah.
The first and the second. Completely different. Completely different. Those are great. Congrats. I love those. Also in the works, you got a comedy called Covers. What can you tell us about that?
I almost forgot about that. That we shot last summer, and it's a movie set in LA and the music scene, you know, and the indie music scene and the music business. And Dakota Johnson is struggling to get her purchase into the producing aspect of music. And she aligns herself with a veteran who's kind of on a slippery slope of success. And,
okay.
And then at a certain point she falls apart, and who she come to is the DJ in a low frequency radio station on Catalina. That's her dad is the DJ, and that's me. And he, you know, we kind of put the pieces back together so she can get back into her life.
Nice, playing a DJ.
I got a chance. And it's about covers, so you know, you think about who did the original song, and then that way that certain covers, you know, that you can start with just one or two notes, and you know, this person is now owning this song.
You know? That's cool.
I think of like, we were listening to Al Green do a Kris Kristofferson song, you know, and you just think the cover of that is so good. Much, you know.
Sometimes it's better than the original.
But the original, he kind of is like me and Bobby McGee or something.
A
little bit in that groove, but Al Green took it to another level.
Oh, yeah. The reverend's great.
Yeah.
Now, I don't see you on Twitter or Instagram. You're not a social media guy?
Yeah, socially illiterate. In a lot of ways. I think, who was it? Somebody saying, I think I'm the last generation that can take a pass on that.
Okay.
They could just say, oh, he's old school. He just can't handle it.
But, oh, God bless you. I'm jealous.
Yeah. I think you start with great ambition, and then it's a hard thing to keep up with, right?
Then it becomes like a part-time job, and you got to keep it up. It is it has its benefits in that you can keep up with people that you don't necessarily have to talk to. It's kind of nice. You know what they're doing. You don't have to pick up the phone. I know what's going on with you. What about music? What are you listening to these days?
Well, I just was listening to, I was just listening to a bunch of interesting things. My son, you know, it's good to have sons in the music, interested in music, and there's a group out of Canada called the Saxophones, and it's spelled S-A-E-X-O, you know, and they did an album of Kurt Vile songs, and it's just like a small combo of sax playing these songs. It's so tasty.
That's cool.
Had a version of Yesterday that, you know, you think you've heard that song enough.
Wow.
And some group just like comes in and makes
a sexy version with the sax.
I ached with Yesterday. I was so, it just was so painful. You know how a sax can just, when it just barely blowing.
Like David Sanborn on a sax.
Yes. Man, it can make you weak at the knees.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I'm with you right there. You mentioned your kids. How many kids do you have?
Three.
Yeah. You have three. Okay.
Three. Yeah. And that's kind of another reason why I like covers, because a lot of story happens in some of these clubs, like the Echoplex and things like that, that they're playing in. So, you know, it felt like an interesting thing to do. But the daughter is a singer-songwriter, Mesa, and the middle son, they play together, all musicians, and with their cousin. And they have the whole damn fam, and every once in a while they play as the whole fam.
That's great. That's great. And your son, Lewis, is going to be in the new Top Gun sequel?
Yeah, he's the drummer, but he's acting.
Look at that. That's awesome.
He's getting ready. That's gearing up for June, I think.
Yeah, it's going to be a big one. Much anticipated right there. Yeah. Highly anticipated, I should say. Speaking of sequels, the new Star Wars movies have obviously been so big. Would you consider doing another Spaceballs?
Oh, yeah. The search for more money. Oh, no. He named it. You know, every sequel has that, you know, little kind of dark motive, maybe.
Yes.
You know, but
that would be amazing.
He's so curious. Yeah. That's it would be
interesting.
It's amazing how generations find that movie. You know,
yeah.
They come along and it
cult
means
classic.
Something. Yeah.
Sure.
A lot of people don't even, some that don't even know the original Star Wars.
Right.
And they got into Spaceballs
well,
and
I appreciate
Schwartzes
it.
And such things.
Schwartz.
And is this true? You've lost your sense of smell?
Yeah. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, thank God, because my friend here does not like this.
It seems clean.
Yeah.
I got to tell your audience that it's looking pretty
good. You
should
have been 4 days ago. There was a sewage problem outside.
Yeah, right.
You would have not been affected at all.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, my
but
God.
We were.
Wait, was that something
ignorant.
From an accident?
I fell and from high up and hit my head. I was in a coma for 2.5 days when I was 21.
Oh, wow.
And then haven't been able to get it back. But then we were just, you end up having these conversations and somebody said, oh yeah, they had a relative that had a virus. Sometimes a virus will knock it out.
Huh.
And the common
look
thing is, if you had to lose one, that's probably the best one to lose, which is not a consolation.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know,
however,
like,
it does have its advantages because sometimes when you travel, there's certain individuals that you would rather, oof, it'd be tough.
Yeah, yeah.
I wish I didn't smell.
When you were, so you were in a coma for 2.5 days.
Yeah.
Do you remember anything from that?
I remember coming to twice, but it was the second time was my father was a doctor and I was in Cooperstown, New York in the hospital and he had come like 4 hour drive and I came to and he was standing just the other side of a curtain with another doctor and I heard him say, so you think it's about a 50-50 chance?
Oh.
And I just said, I'm out of here.
I'm awake.
Yeah, exactly.
I went back under, I guess. But yeah, it was an aneurysm, you know, like an aneurysm. So it was good that it was. And it was just connected to the concussion and not to a kind of chronic problem of, bleeding in the brain.
Is that where you grew up, New York?
Yeah, Western New York State. And then, wouldn't you know, I'm dealing with Derek Simons, the showrunner on The Sinner. He likes to bring it close to the bone. So the second season, Ambrose goes back to his hometown in Western New York State and has to face his demons. True to life. Yes. It was really being an interesting. I've never had a project like this before.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's a great showcase for you. Yeah. Before you go, I want to put you on the spot. Quick questions, quick answers, okay? Song you know all the words to.
Oh, you know, Amazing Grace. That's always a good one. Yeah.
Okay. All-time favorite set that you worked on?
Favorite set? Oh, my gosh. This is going to offend some people because there's so many good ones. You know, I think when you're first starting out, the atmosphere of being in a movie. And for me, Spaceballs was my second movie. First movie was Ruthless People. And I was in some scenes and around LA locations, but MGM lot, the last movie that was made on the lot when it was still called MGM and owned by MGM.
Metro Golden Mare.
Yeah. And, they, you know, we shot on the homage scene to Wizard of Oz. We shot on the same soundstage that they shot on.
And, that's cool.
You know, the makeup department, the guy that came, it wore a sport coat and tie. And so I got to see that all that studio system just before it
old
went away.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Celebrity crush growing up.
Celebrity crush. I guess you could put it that way was Robert Loggia.
Robert Loggia.
I had a thing with my brother where we just loved him so much. He would play kind of universal ethnic people that we really dug, you know.
Yeah, he did. Even in Scarface, too.
Yeah, Scarface, Nine Lives.
Frank Lopez.
El Fuego Baca, you know, the Nine Lives of Fuego Baca. He was this, you know, Latino in the swamps of Louisiana. And he really was and then to we saw that movie Big and the only time we ever talk about movies is say, did you see Robert Loggia in Big? You know, what about Tom Hanks? We forgot all about it. And then I show up on the set of Independence Day and Robert Loggia is my chief of staff.
Oh, that's right. He was in that.
That's awesome.
And that's the only time I've ever asked, you know, I get so embarrassed sometimes people say, can you say happy birthday to my brother? He loves you. And it's not the favorite thing to do, you know, but I did that to Robert Loggia. I said, with this,
right, Nichols,
it was in the 90s. Yeah.
That's great.
But it was a big phone then. Hoist it over to him.
And last question, who plays you in the Bill Pullman story?
In the Bill story? I tell you, there's somebody in the sound department of the center that's doing my voice's temp track.
And it's is he pretty, nailing it?
Pretty good, you know.
Okay.
I thought... I it's a little amusing, and I'd say, you know, I know that's not me saying that line. I didn't say that way or something. Or sometimes they'll add a line,
right,
you know, to cover an exposition or something. And it's always good to know that I can tell myself from a fake.
Yes, it is.
But he's very good, though.
All right, so we're going to cast an unknown.
Yeah, right. We got to cast an unknown. But just go, God, he sounds exactly like Pullman.
I love it. Meanwhile, The Sinner airs Thursdays on USA. Bill, thanks so much for stopping by.
Great to be here, Mario. Yes.
On with Mario Lopez.